The Captain's Son, Introduction. On this earthly realm, a small town is gripped with fear and living in fright. The news flashes lights up on every screen across town of yet another innocent child being abducted in the darkness of night. Without shock, the small town can only further the grim emotions among the people, and the random events continue to happen. Not one of the people felt safe in this small town. All who lived in its dwellings lived with dread and unmeasurable mourning. The children gone from their beds. With doors locked and windows closed, there was no evidence of how these children continue to vanish. Parents panic in a frantic state, looking for their missing loved ones or packing all their belongings to run away as fast as they can. Then unexpectedly, the sound of children echoes from the distance. The yells of little voices approaching home. They are heard by all as they scream out their parents' names and call for their siblings. Joy and excitement was to be felt by all in celebration for the children returning to be home, as they roll up in the back of a military truck. But not all the heard their child calling out, reaching the faces of the approaching truck with a tray full of muddy children waving. Some children were not there, and with regret to say aloud, a military officer and his comrade ring the doorbell of a home. A man swings the door open and answers. A middle-aged man greeted the officers with a creaky and emotional tone. "Hello again, officers. Please tell us you have come with good news." The man's remaining family members stand behind him, gripping hands with hope, fear and anticipation. An officer in a khaki uniform, "Are you the father of Peter Richardson?" The family man went weak at the knees and burst into tears, knowing instantly what that question means. The question was an answer to the family man standing on his front veranda learning of his child's death. The officer then stated with stone-cold faces, "Not all the children made it home, sir." The man falls weak at the knees, collapsing in turmoil, filled with grief and overcome by sadness with the news that his little boy did not survive and his body is unable to return home. The military officers continue door to door to door, informing the parents that their child was either found living and brought home or was deceased, murdered by the villainous monsters from the criminal underworld. However, the more the adults spoke with the children, a different story unfolded and coagulated into something so unbelievably outrageous. If the children weren't telling the same story, it would have to be fictional. But even as individuals separated into tiny little rooms and politely interrogated one by one, they still stood by their words as true experience. So many children telling the same story. They speak of the experience like it was a dream that turned into reality without ever waking, finding themselves in a real place, a real fear, really lost without leaving his bedroom, standing in a foreign forest with a body full of dread of the impending doom, with a mass of dark shadows approaching. The thunderous sound of monsters illuminates the distance and pure fear shudders their body. The spring interaction and hide. Chapter 1. Down deep in the underground levels of hidden military compound is the sub-level 10147. On this level, recent events have led to a lockdown of all personnel. A quarantine has all staff and any visitors held within the facility. Alarm bells ring and sirens hoot, flashing red and white. The sound echoes off the walls and reverberates of the roof to the floor. Unbearable tone. Thorough seizure causing light flashing bright and frequent. Military personnel scramble to gain order and control among the panic and chaos. Among the children involved was the captain's son, one of the driving forces to return the abducted children. Alone in a room with white walls, gray floors, soothing himself with arms held tight against the body, the roof being white, the shiny black bulb sticks out, no pictures, no windows. In one corner, a small thin coffee table with one green fake plant. Under the plant, a small round makeup mirror. In the other corner, a lounge chair, in it sits a small child. Adjacent to the child is a single blue inertia chair. The only thing separating the walls was one door, closed with barely any visible lining. A nail couldn't fit between the seams, no handle to get out. The child looking around, edging to get off his seat, inquisitively to investigate the room further. However, in the moment the child begins to shuffle forward, putting both feet to the floor, the sound of the door decompressing katush frightens the child back into his chair. As the door finally opens, the child sighs loudly in relief, seeing a doctor, a lady doctor, blonde hair, protective goggles hang from her white lab jacket, walks into room waving her hands as she wipes and whips her waiter off the mist that dissipates around her. "Phew." Finally a person, the child states aloud, "I've been here for like ever, like forever, you know, like, more than eternity, you know. I've just been waiting, waiting for someone to come through the door, tell me what's going on. Hello, hello." Making her way across the room, the only other chair sitting down, and introducing herself, "My name is Dr. Maggie Howard. Are you today?" she asked in a sweet, calm voice. "Fine," the young child replied with irritation. "Do you mind if we, I mean, if, I start with a few easy questions, Dr. Maggie, correcting her words in her request. Sure, the child answers with an abrupt tone. The child's eyes gaze away with a sense of boredom. He feels familiarity in the opening line, a polite interrogation with reframed questions from another group of people sitting at their round table. Someone new to ask the same few questions, beating round a bush of cotton candy and fairy floss with repetitive manners to make soft approach in your quest to understand a child's memories of alternate realities. Forget your ritual greetings and you'll pass on the usual politeness. If you ask me, I will do my best to explain, and once again, I'll tell my story. A story of this dream I had, but like all the other people that I've told, it seems too difficult to understand, and disbelief manifest into a child such as me is labeled with dilution. Every those who witnessed the reappearance of us, the room suddenly filled with children and orbs of whispering lights. Even them and the ones we love have comfort in ignorance with the words of a wise and irritated monk. The child spoke with sharp confidence and irritation, like the conversation now held has happened a thousand times before. Predictable inquisitive attention for as long as it is in your favor, for if ever the cliff should fall my way, I would leave this chair, these walls, this room, and round after round of mental manipulation simulated over and over again, stuck in a loop of repeating questions, sickening torment of telling the same story of events, to who, to what, out where. Another cute female doctor to ease re-entry into a simulation reality, where a small child sits on a chair, waiting, for who, for what? Why, a thousand simulated lives because of a dream I had, reacting loops disgorged for Brian's to turn to mush, seeking memories, one thriving muscle trapped without escape. On we go with a. So, the dream begins. A groups of friends and gather of the local outdoor pools on hot summer's day. Everyone is jumping in the water, having fun splashing about. We went over to the kiddie pool, playing as kids do. We had been splashing around, making a water vortex in the pool, playing games such as Marco Polo, Seal Man Swimmer, an Acton movie in slow motion. To me it seemed like a normal day passing. Like always, after hours of playing in the water and being under the hot summer sun, we started to get hungry and thirsty, making a group discussion to collect our towels and head to the canteen for the usual hot chips and can of drink. Everyone was hungry and wanted lunch. However, it seemed, I was the only one with coin. Counting out the coin pieces, we could afford a large serving of hot chips without any drinks. After little argument from the hungry onlookers, we all muttered words to say yes and nodded our heads to the agreement. The agreement of one large serving of piping hot, salty, delicious potato slices, fried until golden brown, crispy and crunchy. Each one of us, including me myself, were standing salivating at the canteen kiosk window. The group agreed to get the large chips with some tomato sauce to share. We were all huddled up together in excitement for the hot chips with sauce. We started pushing and shoving each other, trying to see the chips being cooked, squishing to see if the chips are on the way, nudging with elbows trying to stay within the border of the window frame, all of them keen to be the first to grab the chips. The screen slides open with the canteen laddie saying, "Sorry, we're all out of tomato sauce and the barbecue sauce is empty too, but we do have our special sauce. We do have one special sauce," she repeated with a stage smile on her face. "So, I'll give you all some of the special sauce." Okay, again with that smile. Creepy gaze of a smile. A smile without value or emotion. Where did my brain ticking with thoughts thinking about how strange her smiling that way was and why was she smiling that way? Before I could process the interaction, my concentration was broken by the chips being ready. A deep manly voice shouts out from behind the counter, "Order 7272. Hot chips and special sauce." My hands happened to be the ones the food landed in. However, strangely enough, our that didn't look like the usual hot chips. I thought maybe it was because of the special sauce. As I continue thinking in question of the growing number of strange events happening, I ponder by myself, as the group is consumed with all hands reaching in a frantic frenzy to get to the chips. I hold the leaf package out front with two hands. I'm balancing the chips bundle as they rip open the leaves like Puranus, as the grab handfuls of hot chips and dip what they can into the container of oddly colored special sauce and feed their faces. I'm still left in though, like slow motion brain fog. I couldn't figure out what was so strange. Why so foggy? Like racing thoughts and questions that never conclude, shape beside the eyelids that continually change before you can make sense of what you're seeing. I stood in silent thought as a group, chewed, swallowed, hummed and ached, feasting delight. He chips come in a neatly folded and tied green-leafed package, a banana leaf buttered, tied with one strand of string that was handed to the first open waiting hand of the anticipating group hungry kids. My thoughts are stuck with how I've been served hot chips in cardboard cups, wrapped in butcher's paper, greasy fry basket and on a dinner plate, but never, ever, have I been served hot chips that are wrapped up in green leaves, and never, ever from someone with that type of freaky creepy smile. I look back to see that she is still staring with her dark brown eyes that don't blink, shimmering glare of silent overwhelming expectation and a blank smile watching us walk away. I wonder for a second, before I could process the situation, my frenzy of hungry friends get into chips and the special sauce. They grab fistful of the hot oily chips, then dip and dunk into the sauce like madmen, eating like festive pigs home for Halloween, scoffing and fisting their mouths full with dripping hot special sauce. The gooey, thick, light brown sauce seemed to be bubbling and fizzling, and either no one noticed or they didn't care as they shoveled down hands full chips that were soaked in this special sauce they were going mental over. Before I could even grab a chip, let alone dip into the sauce, the boys emptied the jungle leaves and devoured the container, licking it clean in desperation for more. Just as I'm shocked to see them all act like hungry pigs looking up at them out of control, I see through them and beyond in the dark forest. I see a group of shadows approaching. The shadows came fast, closer and closer. Suddenly standing in front out of us was a horde of skeletons. My brain stumbles to figure out why I'm seeing what seems to be alive, living, moving human bones, walking, clanking, chinking, rattling human bones, I get a fright and sense of flight immediately. Before I knew they were already close enough, I could see clearly the eyeless sockets of a skull that was staring right back at me with black pits of death. I felt I meant nothing in it but to meal, to sustain the quest to devour and consume and survive. On the spot with skeletons in our faces, anger skeletons bearing swords, wave us closer in a demand and threat of pain, staring at the eye pit black holes where eyeballs should be. I'm wonder and confusion at this horde of skulls and bones. My mind falls into a trance like falling from the sky. There was a new sense of impeding death. Looking into these black pit eyes, I realize we were to be the hunted, if we haven't already been hunted and captured. The mark their prey marked via the special dipping sauce, a marker for the hunter, and there were many on this day. They will hunt to feast, gorging of the life force that once was, picking all meat until bones and waste bones themselves, to only hunt again and again, to take, to eat, to hunt for prey as any predator would do. The only thing that came to mind was to take a deep breath in and then yell out loud in a panic scream, run, go, go, run, 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 fucking run, fuckin' run, run fuckier.